Welcome to the Shadow Hills Podcast. We would love to have you visit us at one of our campuses in Las Vegas or online at shadowhills.org. We pray that God will speak to your heart as you listen to today's message.
Thank you so much, Sheila. That was amazing. In your Bibles this morning, if you have a copy of the Word of God with you, turn to the book of 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 4, and we continue this morning in our series through this book that we're calling Hope Alive, the fourth chapter of 1 Peter. I love Sundays, which being a pastor, I guess that's a good thing. And if you guys love Sundays, if you do, turn to the person next to you and say, I love Sundays. All right, just checking. Last week in particular was a really special Sunday for me. I had been gone several weeks with an extended sickness. Last Sunday was my first week back to preach, and so it was extra special. It was just a great week. I got to worship Jesus with you guys, and as our team led us in worship, I got to preach God's word, I got to talk and visit with some friends that I hadn't seen in a while. As always, praise the Lord, here at Shadow Hills Church, I got to meet some new friends. We always have guests that come see us for the first time, second time, third time. We're delighted to have them. I got to meet some of them, so it was just a great Sunday. Every Sunday is great, but last Sunday was super memorable. Cindy and I got to go after church before we came back to preach the 5 o'clock service. We got to go and hit up one of our favorite lunch spots. Some of the most delicious food in all of Las Vegas, North Las Vegas to be exact. It's a little place with only about 10 tables, and so I kind of am reluctant to disclose the name of it this morning because it gets crowded enough on Sundays, and I don't want all you guys coming and taking up my table. But if you are here today and you like soul food as much as I do, and if you don't know what soul food is, God help you, all right? But you'll love Ella M's restaurant in North Las Vegas on Craig Road. This is free advertisement, but we're talking fried chicken, we're talking fried catfish and yams. Notice I didn't say sweet potatoes. I love sweet potatoes, but we're talking about yams, all right? Collard greens, fried okra, fried cabbage, cornbread. This is preaching right here, okay? We just give an invitation right now. This is church. Quick insider tip, get the Tropical Punch Kool-Aid. It's amazing. But anyway, all right, you have to be there. It's so good. But all that to say that last Sunday was a great all-around day. Even got a little nap in before we came back for the 5 o'clock service. I usually don't nap very well for some reason, but I did discover this last week, that if you eat a gallon of fried chicken and a bucket of collard greens from Ella M's, you sleep like a baby. So I got a nap. But every Sunday for the believer should be a special day, because we get together as God's family. We sing songs to Jesus, we hear the Word of God preach, we celebrate the gospel. But my point is this: we can take all of this for granted, can't we? On a Sunday morning, much like the one I described last week, much like this beautiful Sunday today, and we got to experience a child dedication, another one at 10:30. We're going to baptize two precious souls tonight. On a Sunday much like this, November 17th, 2017, in Sutherland Springs, Texas, about 50 people went into a church to worship Jesus. When in the middle of the service, a deranged man entered the worship center with an AR-15 semi-automatic rifle, and he proceeded to shoot nearly every single person in the worship center. Many of you, of course, remember this. It was just a couple of years ago, not even. And in a church of 50 people, in just moments, 27 of those people were dead. 20 of them were wounded. So over half the church was killed. And I know this is sobering, and I know this is somber, but I want to make a point. This is our message today. We're talking about suffering. If half of this church was taken from us, can you imagine? Many of you, your closest friends are in this room, they're on this property, maybe your wife, your children. Why do things like this happen? How could our brothers and sisters in Christ in Texas and other places where things like this specifically have happened, how can they even go on? How can the survivors even breathe another breath? Why does life on this earth involve so much pain? And maybe not something exactly like this, God forbid, but what about our own lives? So many of us in this room, myself included, have had to walk through really painful trials in life. So how do we go on? And if I can be just so raw this morning, don't we sometimes feel even this, that where is Jesus? Where is God in the midst of all of this? Why does he allow trials and sufferings in life? So you guys, maybe you've never really experienced the pain of a severe trial or severe suffering in your life. And I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but just wait. Because those days are coming. They will come. It's inevitable. So the message this morning is this, church. How do we prepare now to endure the suffering that will inevitably come? And I submit that the best thing that we can do as Christians is to develop a biblical theology of suffering. Don't let that seminary-like title scare you off. Theology simply means this, to study God, right? You don't have to be a theologian to be a theologian. If you get your Bible out and you try to figure out more about who God is and what he would have for you to do in your life to serve him and love him and know him, you're a theologian, all right? You get your degree if you come back next week. But we're going to study a theology of suffering because it's pretty impossible to make up a theology of suffering on the fly. And so we need to be prepared before the trials come. The good news is that our text today in 1 Peter helps show us the way, how to prepare, how to understand suffering in its many aspects. And so look at verse 12. Of 1 Peter 4. Dear friends, don't be surprised when the fiery ordeal comes among you to test you as if something unusual were happening to you. Instead, rejoice as you share in the sufferings of Christ so that you may also rejoice with great joy when his glory is revealed. If you're ridiculed for the name of Christ, you're blessed because the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. Now, these verses pretty much serve as a summary statement from the Apostle Peter, the author of this book, on how to endure suffering, on what suffering is all about. The previous 20 verses, prior to the ones that we read, Peter addresses suffering as a whole. We don't have time to track through all of those on a Sunday morning and in a given series, and so I hope that you'll take time to look back. We'll refer back to some of them, but for the last several verses, he's been talking about suffering, and then he begins to summarize here. So we're going to look at these verses that we read and a few after those and peer into how Peter encourages Christians to endure suffering. The first thing is on your listening guide. If you're taking notes, you can jot this down. Don't be surprised, Peter said, when you experience suffering. Don't be surprised by it. Verse 12, don't be surprised when the fiery ordeal comes. And man, one of the things I love most about Peter, and we talked about this last week, but is the author's honesty and straightforwardness. He talks about suffering. He said, by the way, don't be surprised when it happens to you. He's like, it's coming. And Peter was just straightforward. That's just the way that he spoke. That's the way that he wrote. He wasn't some sort of Pollyanna. Some of you will not get that ancient reference, all right? But he wasn't just some Pollyanna skipping through life, through the colorful meadows of life. And, you know, just everything's wonderful. Everything's beautiful. Peter was a realist. And this is because Peter, of all people, had seen pain up close. Don't answer out loud, but how many of you have seen pain, have felt pain up close in your life? Peter had witnessed his teacher and his Lord and his Savior, Jesus Christ, be crucified. He had seen that. And since then, he had seen some of his closest friends be executed for their faith. He had experienced personal persecution, imprisonment. Peter knew pain. And so he says to these Christians, don't be surprised when suffering comes. Still, there may be some of us in this room that are thinking something like this. How can Peter say this, though? Doesn't being a Christian somehow mean that God's going to protect us from some of these things? That he's going to make our lives free of troubles? That's not reality, is it? Far from it. And so Peter says, don't be surprised by suffering because he knows the reality of life on this earth. And we're going to unpack some of the theology and thinking behind that in our remaining minutes. So hold on, but let me give you a second principle, a second takeaway. We're going to give five this morning. This is the second takeaway in our theology of suffering, Shadow Hills. Number two, for the Christian, suffering is not accidental. We're not to be surprised when we experience suffering, pain, persecution, trial. Secondly, for the Christian, suffering is not accidental. He went on to say in verse 12, don't consider it an unusual thing when you're hit with that fiery trial. I want you to see this quote by Pastor John MacArthur. His commentary on this verse, 1 Peter 4:12, was this: a Christian must not think that their persecution happens by chance. MacArthur said, God allows it for the believer's testing, purging, and cleansing. Church, look at me. We live in a fallen world, don't we? Because of the presence of sin, things are no longer as they were originally intended to be. Now, praise God, Jesus is making all things new. But when sin entered the world through our disobedience in the Garden of Eden, everything was fractured. And so, since then, we live in a new normal. You may be thinking, well, Brett, I wasn't there back in the Garden of Eden, so whatever Adam and Eve did, it's on them. I don't want to take the brunt of what two people did. I didn't do it. Well, let me just tell you this, church. We're all on the hook this morning. We're all on the hook because every single one of us, whether we want to admit it tonight, and by the way, that's step one, is admitting that we are sinners. Psalm 58 says this, that each and every one of us came out of our mother's womb speaking lies. The book of James in the New Testament chapter 2 said that if we are fortunate enough to keep the law in every single way, and yet we just slip up once, we're guilty of it all. And so we're all guilty. Sin stinks, by the way, doesn't it? It stinks. And it brings suffering. But we shouldn't be taken back at the occurrence and even the heavenly intentionality. The heavenly intentionality of the fiery trials in our life because of sin. We shouldn't be surprised when it comes, and we should understand that God has either ordained it, orchestrated, or at the very least in the life of the believer, he has allowed it. There is a heavenly intentionality. We can take some confidence in that. It's not an accident. And for us to take for granted that suffering is going to come in this world, it would be like us laying out all day in the sun and then being shocked that we got a sunburn. But haven't we all done that? Like we're in the sun all day. We're like, why am I so burnt? Because you're in the sun all day. I remember the first time I got a massive sunburn. And we all swear that we're never going to get one again, but we usually still do. I don't think I've ever gotten one as bad, though, as this first massive burn that I got. I was 15 or 16 years old. I was on a camping trip. And that's why you should never go camping, all right? I'm kidding, kind of. But I was on a camping trip with my family, my stepdad, Milton, who was just a great guy. My mom married him when I was a teenager, and I loved Milton. But he was an outdoorsman. He loved to hunt and fish and camp. But again, coming into that, you know, dynamic as a teenager, my brother and I, we weren't raised that way. We were raised in the cement jungle. You know, we're city boys. And so that was something that was new to us. Like up to that point in my life, my idea of roughing it was staying in a motel that had a subpar continental breakfast. Right, so if you were staying at a hotel and they didn't have waffle makers, that's roughing it, right? Come on. So I find myself here camping on the lakefront and fishing and swimming, and my stepdad, in all of his love and wisdom, he tried to warn this city boy, better put some sunscreen on. I'm like, nah, I'm good. Let me just tell you, I come to find out I wasn't good, all right? The sun seemed so far away. It was a beautiful day. The breeze was blowing. It seemed so harmless, but God was not surprised by the fact that I got a sunburn. And it wasn't on accident that God placed the sun in the sky. He did it on purpose and for a purpose, many purposes, all right? When it comes to the heated trials that we face as Christians, God is not surprised and he is not without involvement and purpose. And like Dr. MacArthur said in the quote we just read, persecution doesn't happen by chance. God allows it for our testing, purging, and cleansing. In fact, Paul said in 2 Timothy 3, verse 12, that all who want to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. John Wesley, the founder of the United Methodist Church, was a horseback traveling preacher. And as Wesley would travel on horseback and preach the gospel in those days, he was often physically attacked by those who didn't like his straightforward gospel message. Sometimes people don't like when I preach. I gotta remember, I'm not Wesley, all right? I wasn't being attacked by the mob yet, anyway, all right? And so he was often attacked by mobs. They would throw stones at him. And he wrote, I love this story. He told the story that once he was traveling between towns to preach, and it dawned on him that he hadn't had any stones thrown at him in like a week. And so instead of rejoicing in that, he began to wonder if he had backslidden as a preacher. If that maybe now he wasn't serving God as he ought to because he wasn't receiving that consistent persecution. I mean, he knew that 2 Timothy 3 said that those who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And so he got off his horse, he said. He got on his knees and he started praying and repenting. When all of a sudden somebody came by and recognized him and threw a big rock right at him. Honest, that's what he said. He said, I was able to dodge that stone, but I still thanked God. I thanked God that I was still right with him. And then I got back on my horse. I kept on traveling. I kept on preaching. See, Wesley understood that when we speak the gospel and when we live out the implications of the gospel, we will have suffering. We're going to have some enemies even. You look back at verse 4, if you have your Bible open to 1 Peter 4. We didn't read it, but in 1 Peter 4:4, it says, they are surprised that you don't join them in the same flood of wild living, and they slander you. Look, when we walk with Jesus, there will be, at the very least, a social cost. And Peter says, don't be surprised. God knew about it, he allowed it, and he's gonna use it. Now, look at this next concept in our text. This is so beautiful. So we shouldn't be surprised when suffering comes, whatever form it may be. Suffering doesn't happen by accident. Number three, suffering produces a special bond between Jesus and his followers. Look at 13. It said, as we suffer, we share in the sufferings of Christ. Peter says here that when we suffer, we share something in common. We build this bond, we strengthen this friendship, this relationship that we have with Jesus Christ in our times of suffering, trial, persecution. I want to make the point that we all know that there's this special bond that can occur, that often does occur, between those who share life experiences. You may have nothing else in common. You may come from a different place, you may be of a different race, you may have had all these other different life experiences, but you have now this one massive life experience in common, and it creates this bond. I think my daughter Hannah and I, we got to be in attendance at the Garden in Boston when the Celtics won the World Championship back in 2008. And my brother is sitting down front here with this Celtics thing on. You know, it's St. Patrick's Day, and this is just firing me up to preach right here, just seeing that, all right? I know that wasn't very spiritual, but I'm just trying to be transparent. All right, so we got Celtics fans. So my daughter and I were together at this championship when it took place in the Garden. It was an amazing experience, all right? It was great to share it with my daughter, and we've gone on to think about that and talk about that from year to year, but the point I want to make is it was so cool to experience it with thousands of other Celtic fans with whom, for the most part, I had nothing else in common with. But when that game was over, when that championship was over, I want to tell you something. I wasn't just high-fiving with strangers, and I'm being dead honest, all right? I was hugging them, and I was crying with them. Now, that may sound silly, and probably because it is silly, all right? But it shows the power of sharing an experience with someone. You bond with them. And even more so when you share a painful experience with someone. War veterans, right? They share something together, a bond with each other that we can't understand. Cancer survivors. 9/11 survivors. 1 October survivors. Anybody know a 1 October? We may have some 1 October survivors in the room. I know that I know some survivors that before then didn't really know each other, but now they share this bond, they share this experience. Fortunately, I haven't yet lost a parent. My mom and dad are still alive. But those of you that have, you can relate and you can bond with those who have. I haven't lost a child. Some of my best friends on the face of this earth here in Las Vegas, part of our church, lost a child. Some of you have. And those of you that have can in a special and unique way bond with those who have. I do now have a special bond with anyone who has been knocked out of commission for a couple of months due to sickness and exhaustion and anxiety and all that goes with it. It's real life stuff when you really come face to face with your own humanity. And now I've already had people in the church that have come to me and say, hey, I can relate to that. I went through something similar to that. And so we begin to bond. We relate. Listen, church, just like those things, when we feel the pain of suffering, we experience just a little taste of what Jesus did when he sacrificed his life for us on the cross. This draws us closer to Jesus because we can identify with suffering, the suffering that he did so that we could be saved. I want you to see a fourth takeaway as we wind up this morning from 1 Peter. As we build out this theology of suffering, look at verse 15 in chapter 4. We didn't read it earlier, but verse 15 says, let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or a meddler. So Peter pivots here a little bit, doesn't he? He talks about all this suffering, that we should not think that it's an accident and that we can bond with Christ over it. But then he pivots and he talks about a different type of suffering. Takeaway number 4, principle number 4. Sometimes we can be the direct cause of our own suffering. So Peter now makes this distinction between sufferings. He's talked about the one type of suffering that can come as a result of our devotion to Christ. Just the fact that we live in a sinful world, that we live in a fallen world, and so there is trouble, there is suffering, there is death. But now he talks about the kind of suffering that we have absolutely brought on ourselves because of our individual sin. So now he's not talking about universal sin and just that there's sin in this world, but he says, hey, there's sin in your own life. And some of you are suffering because of that. And he said, we shouldn't suffer. We shouldn't make those types of choices, but yet we do. A lot of people here have made your own life difficult because of choices, sins. Hey, in some form, this is all of us. And by the way, these types of choices never singularly affect just us, do they? They have ripple effects, and these choices and these sins impact and cause pain to others around us. And so Peter says, hey, don't cause your own suffering, right? And then push it off. Well, there's sin in the world. Some of us have to be honest and admit this morning that the fiery trial that we're currently going through is pretty much a bed that we made ourselves. And so now we are sleeping in it, we are lying in it. But here at Shadow Hills, we preach good news. So let me give you some good news, all right? If you're suffering this morning because of your own personal sins, there is grace for you. God has mercy on sinners. And the ultimate demonstration of the mercy of Christ on sinners is the cross. Your sin does not disqualify you from the love of God. That's a good place for all of us to say amen, or at least think it in our hearts. Our sin does not disqualify us from the love of God. Jesus paid not just for some of our sin, he paid for all of our sin. And that said, you may go through your entire life dealing in some way with the ramifications, with the pain or with the loneliness or the struggle from a previous sin. In some cases, we may have to live with some of that for the rest of our lives. But I want you to consider this, that it may just be in part that God is graciously reminding you of how much you need him. Remember when we don't have time to unpack it. Remember when Jacob wrestled with God in the Old Testament and he walked away with a what? With a limp. And he had it the rest of his life just so he would remember who it is that's all powerful. The Apostle Paul had to go through life with a thorn in the flesh to constantly remind him that God was his source of strength. Still, Peter warns us. He warns us to search our hearts. And I warn myself, I warn you this morning, church, to search your own heart and your own life and determine where it is that you're causing your own suffering and deal with that. One last principle this morning. Look at verse 19. So then, let those who suffer according to God's will, so he pivots back, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust themselves to a faithful Creator while doing what is good. Number 5, we can persevere through suffering by trusting in the power of God. We can persevere through suffering by trusting in the power of God. Now, the word entrust, if you are in the habit of marking things, underlining things in your Bible, and you have that word entrust, it's the idea of committing yourself. And so here you are committing yourself, kind of like we did, it's very fitting with this child family dedication. You're committing yourself to God in your suffering. When you suffer, when you walk through a trial, whatever it may look like, you're entrusting, you're committing yourself to God. It's actually a banking term. So it means to deposit for safekeeping. So you're taking that trial, you're just giving it to God. You're depositing there for safekeeping. So in suffering and persecution, we are to trust ourselves to the faithful Creator. And this is significant because in referring to God as Creator here, no, I always believe in an every word Bible. Every word is here for a reason. And there's a reason right here where why Peter referred to God as the Creator. There's two things. Number one, God is all powerful. He created the world. He can handle our problems. He's the Creator. He's God. He created everything. He's got this. Secondly, in referring to God as the Creator, one that we should trust or commit our suffering to, Peter's saying that God knows what's best for us. Think with me. Who knows something better than the one who designed it? So God designed you, he created you, you can trust him, you can rely on him, whatever it is you're going through. So no matter what you're facing, never doubt, church, that God is good, all right? He made you, he is all powerful, and he can be trusted. Look, in the gospel, which the gospel is in essence who Jesus is, what he has done for us, in the gospel, in the cross, we see the goodness and trustworthiness, prophecies fulfilled, and love of Christ. 2,000 years ago on the cross of Calvary, Jesus was crucified in our place so that we could experience forgiveness, new life, the power and reality of the resurrection. So here it is, church. Here's the whole message in one statement. You ready? Jesus suffered once and for all so we don't have to suffer forever. He suffered once and for all so we don't have to suffer forever. If we commit and trust, deposit for safekeeping our lives unto him. So whatever it is that you're going through today, grief, anxiety, depression, attack, loneliness. Look right up here. I used to have a preacher when I was growing up. I grew up in the South. Those preachers were hard preachers. And every once in a while they'd say, look at me and my God-given eyeballs. I don't even know what that meant. But whatever it is that you're going through this morning, look at me. It's going to be okay. God's got this. If you know him, you are in his hands. If you don't know him, you're in a place where you can find out exactly who he is. Several weeks ago, as we started this series, we looked at this awesome encouragement in chapter 1. I want to read these verses and then pray. Verse 6 of 1 Peter 1. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, gold which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. We can rejoice in suffering because of the death and resurrection of Jesus. It's only temporary. And as a Christian, your suffering has a purpose. It's to test and to reveal and to refine your faith. Would you stand with me this morning? Would you bow your heads? You can pray with me if you feel comfortable doing that, or just, I want to pray for all of us. So with your head bowed and your eyes closed, I have some friends that are right up here that are some of our pastors, prayer partners, ministry leaders. Every service, they stand at the end of the aisle. And again, not just out of tradition, but they're here for you. If you're a church member, if you're just attending here today, but you need someone to pray with you, to talk to you, to give you a little bit of counsel, to answer some questions for you about what it means to be a Christ follower, what it means to be baptized. We mentioned we're going to baptize tonight. Maybe, what does that mean? Maybe you're walking through the trial and suffering. You just want someone to whisper in your ear, hey, it's going to be okay. We'd love for you to come forward as we sing this morning. Father, bless now this time of response. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Thanks for joining us today. If you have been blessed by this podcast and would like to help support our ministry, you can go to shadowhills.org/give. We greatly appreciate your generosity. Join us again next time, and may God bless you with his best for your life. We hope to see you again soon.